On the phone now is our regular commentator on federal politics, Sarah Basford-Canales. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning from Devonport, Tasmania. How are we doing?
Oh, mate, we're doing great over here, but you are running ragged over there on the Labor Now official election trail.
Yes, it's finally been called. It's day one here, and we've already had a press conference that went a bit awry, and we're currently in Devonport doing a few picks.
Give us the awry. What went down?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Albanese was hoping for sort of a breezy start to the campaign, but this morning he was pushed on two key facts, which were what the current unemployment rate is and what the RBA cash rate is, and he was stumped. He actually couldn't answer the question. He was asked multiple times and he kind of kept avoiding it, but the journalist kind of pressed on him to get that answer out of him. And of course, this is a pretty typical question to be asked of either leader, really. It's the 21 questions thing, you know, what's the cost of milk and bread, as we saw the PM get up last time. This one's a little bit more technical than that,
yeah.
But something that you would expect an opposition leader to know off the top of his head on day one of the campaign.
You certainly would. That must have come to as a surprise to all of you in the gallery.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think we sort of obviously knew that those were the questions that are going to get asked pretty frequently, but he was unable to answer it. He actually said, I think he said it's 5.4%. Actually, I'm not sure what it is. And, of course, the actual rate is 4% and the cash rate is 0.1%. Mm-hmm. The journalist asked then the shadow finance minister, Senator Katie Gallagher, to come to the front. She was sort of standing off the side, wasn't really meant to be involved. And they asked those two questions again to her, and she was able to answer them correctly. But she did definitely appear a little bit uncomfortable by the situation, obviously overshadowing her leader there. So interesting first morning, but yeah. Lots, 40 more days to go, so an interesting start.
Well, yeah, look, that's just a bit of an ugly free kick in the first quarter, but how's he been playing out in the rest of the quarter?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we've only really had the opportunity to ask those questions of him this morning. We won't get another chance to quiz him today, so I think they're going to rest him up and keep him away from the journos for a little bit, refreshing on the latest rates for unemployment and cash rates and whatever else he might get fun on him the next day. We will see more stuff tomorrow. We're kept pretty under wraps here, so we have no idea where we're going until we really get there. But we know that the PM is in the South Coast. He's really targeting those marginal seats there. So we expect Labor will do the same. So that could mean jumping states over to Brisbane or potentially even Melbourne Victoria, rather. But, yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. It's only day one and there's another 40 to go. So,
what's the plan? I mean, would you expect that, say, for example, Scott Morrison's going to be avoiding, you know, the flood-stricken areas of New South Wales, for example, during the campaign?
It's certainly possible, but I think he'll probably want to get those pictures and footage on the nightly news, especially, you know. But the problem is with him, obviously, in the past, he's had some uncomfortable situations when he's visited the bushfire-affected areas. So, you know, from what we've seen from the PM over the last couple of years, he doesn't handle the empathy part very well. So we'll have to see what he does. But I imagine that both Labor and Liberals will keep a really razor focus on the marginal seats. And obviously Labor needs to win 7 seats to govern in its own right, and about 3 or 4 if they can win over some of the crossbenchers to their side and form a minority government. All the government has to do is not lose 1 seat. So it sounds like an easy way to deal with it, but as we know, none of that stuff really matters at the end of the day when it comes to polling day, which is now May 21st. So
Now, I know you're extraordinarily busy and things could, like, up and change just in a moment, so do jump off whenever you need to, Sarah.
Yeah.
But I need to... I'm a little bit curious about how things were in the fallout from the captain's pick saga of last week. I mean, it held up the announcement of the election, or seemed to. There seemed like there was a lot of mud being thrown around New South Wales.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's most spectacular about this whole saga is it's not actually coming from the opposition, it's coming from within the own party. And obviously, it's a factional thing. I know the Liberal Party very famously said that it is factionless, but that is not the case. We've got sort of broadly the conservative and the sort of moderate and more centre-right factions within the party battling it out to get their preferred candidates in those seats. As we've seen, obviously, Morrison sort of, he's been alleged to have been playing a game to whittle down the clock, as Conchita Trivanti Wells has said. And so what's happened at the moment is they've kind of been put in this horrible position where they've just announced candidates and they're obviously Scott Morrison's captain's picks, but they really only have 6 weeks to campaign and convince the electorates that they're the person to represent them in Parliament. So it doesn't, you know, obviously at face value, it doesn't seem like a good position to be in, to be introducing fresh faces and trying to win the trust of the people over in 6 weeks. But obviously Morrison's placing his bets on it, and that's probably part of the reason why he's decided to call that 6 week election rather than the 4 or 5 week election that we were all predicting and sort of hoping for as well, to be honest. So 6 weeks is going to be brutal, but think he's hoping that that'll help his cause out.
Well, whilst we're on the subject of fresh faces, actually old faces in fresh jobs, the Golden Elevator's been working overtime over the last few weeks, it seems. There's been a hell of a lot of appointments to bureaucratic bodies that former Liberal MPs, former Liberal staffers, there's a fair amount of attention being directed at that. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite typical of either party, really. Obviously, we haven't seen Labor do it because it hasn't been in government since 2013, but it's pretty typical of both sides to sort of make those last-minute, say, political appointments, or definitely, suspicious appointments. But this has sort of been done at a different level, and I think because of some of that disorganisation that we've seen from... within the Liberal Party ranks, I think there's been a little bit of a pushback, but we obviously saw the flurry come through last week, and that's kind of what gave us indication that election would be called pretty soon, because once it gets into caretaker mode, those sorts of appointments can't be made, obviously. But yeah, I suppose it's an interesting one, because if Labor does form government, it would be interesting to see if they sort of clear out the ranks for some of those people. Particularly in the public service, at least in terms of those heads, like the head of PMC is Scott Morrison's former chief of staff. So there's a lot of people within the APS that they probably want to clear the ranks of, but it doesn't help when, there's been a bunch of appointments in the last 2 weeks.
Well, this has a really important international aspect to it. When you look at Australia's seat, for example, on the UN's Human Rights Commission, we're at the risk at the moment because of that selection process or non-process in selecting people that we're about to be downgraded from full member down to observer status. It puts us on the same pegging as third world countries when it comes to human rights concerns. This sort of thing, these political appointments actually have very heavy implications.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point to raise there, because it is sort of part of that issue of it's an accepted thing on both sides that both sides will do that. But obviously, to the extent that it's happened in the recent years, it's actually causing these issues for Australia's integrity and reputation. So I don't believe Labor has a platform to sort of rule out those political appointments. I know the Greens have, but obviously, unless they hold the seat of power or the balance in the House, they might not be able to do much with it. So it's one of those issues, the integrity issues, that will get raised a lot in the coming weeks. not quite as big an issue today on day one because it's cost of living, but it definitely will get a run, and hopefully someone will address that in the coming weeks.
Well, and just
we've got to head off here. Okay. But it's great to chat.
Oh, Sarah, so much more to talk about, but get cracking, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah, we'll do once I've appeared out of the rabbit hole.
Thanks for talking, Sarah.
Bye.
That's Sarah Basford-Canales. She's the political reporter at the Canberra Times, covering the Labor election, Labor Party on the election trail down there in Davenport in Tasmania.